Well, last month, NPR's Morning Edition announced the second session of its book club. This time around, Kansas City's own Gillian Flynn made the selection of A God in Ruins by Kate Atkinson. KCUR arts and culture reporter Laura Spencer teamed up with Katie Stover of the Kansas City Public Library to form a local chapter. This past Tuesday, 14 readers gathered here at the station and aired their opinions on the book. We invited a couple of them to join us here this morning, and they are Scott Curtis and Jennifer Kay. Welcome to you both. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Steve.
And also back is our moderator of the book club and friend of this show, the aforementioned Katie Stover. Katie, welcome to you.
Good morning, Steve.
Well, God in Ruins follows a man named Teddy who served as a bomber pilot during World War II. The book is about returning home after war. The story is told through Teddy's eyes and also through the perspective of his daughter and his grandchildren. The author, Kate Atkinson, what else is she known for writing? Katie, sort of set her up for us here.
Well, she's very well known for Life After Life,
Yes.
Which is the companion novel that came first in 2013 to A God in Ruins. I love Kate Atkinson for her Jackson Brody crime thrillers. And I really shouldn't use the term crime thriller. They're very literary mysteries that move very quickly. And the most recent one that's marvelous is Started Early, Took My Dog. And Kate Atkinson's very good at pulling all these different threads together. And you follow three different stories and then everything comes together at the end. And it's just beautiful the way she ties all her plots together.
Scott, had you ever read anything by her before?
I had not. And I must admit that that is one of the interesting things about having read this book is because you read through it and boy, you think you understand what's going to happen, and then in the last 15 pages, everything changes, and it creates a pretty polarizing reaction. You either really like it or you really don't.
We're going to give you minutes. Jen, how familiar were you with this author?
I'd read Life After Life.
So you were a veteran of,
yes,
of Kate Atkinson, yeah.
And I'd read a couple of the Jackson Brody novels, too.
Yeah. And the title is from Emerson's Nature. A man is a god in ruins. When men are innocent, life shall be longer and shall pass into the immortal as gently as we awake from dreams. Was Teddy, you know, this man, and in what state did the war leave him as you look back on it now, Scott?
Well, I think that the war, he had an epiphany of sorts when he was flying back on one of his missions. And he decided that if he survived, he was not going to cause harm to anyone. Mm-hmm. And it really changed him, and that shaped the character of Teddy that you see throughout the book.
Huh. Well, Katie, you didn't waste any time with this group. I mean, your first question to the members was if there was anyone who didn't like the book. What was the response you got?
I love asking that question. There were at least half the folks in the room loved it, and a good many didn't like it. And what I learned at the end of the book group, which is what I always hope for, was at least half of the folks who didn't like it said, well, I like it a little bit more, having talked about it, and I understand it. That's really what you're going for in a book group when people say they don't like a book.
Were you surprised by the reaction you got?
I was a little. I was surprised at the emotion behind that sort of response.
Mm-hmm.
Brenda and Scott, well, Scott did like it, but Brenda didn't like it. And there was one other person at the end of the table that did not like it. Kelly Fan didn't like it. And I was surprised at how strongly these folks didn't like it. But there were people that just loved it, and they loved Kate Atkinson's writing, and they loved the way she constructed the story, and they liked the challenge that Kate Atkinson presents to the reader, where you have to follow the time, the way she's playing with the shifts in time. And that's and Kate Atkinson admits that she wants us to work a little bit as readers. She's very willing to reward us as readers. She wants us to put some effort into gaining that reward.
Jen, which side of the coin were you on when it came to liking or maybe not liking this book?
I love this book.
Really?
I did.
Did she make you work, as Katie just pointed out?
Oh, yeah. This is not a book that you can skim at all, because she presents years, but within those years, she jumps around to the past or the future. So you very much have to be present with this book. But I think...
Was it confusing?
No. No, I didn't find it confusing. It's just you couldn't be like, oh, this chapter is boring. I'm going to skip it. Because you were going to miss something that was going to be vitally important 20 chapters later.
Yeah.
But it read so beautifully, but also easily. It's not a complicated book, but the phrasing and the timing and the characters, they're all so well written and beautifully drawn.
Huh. And Scott, where did you come down on this book?
I initially came to the group, and I was one of the people who was most vehement about not liking the book, and I would never read anything else by Kate Atkinson because I felt like I had been wronged mm-hmm. by the reading of the book. But yeah. Jan's comments and other people's comments really helped me because I did see that what she did and what she provoked in the reader is, in a sense, the kind of art that she was doing. It's the kind of thing that... it's the kind of art that you look at and you have a very visceral reaction, and then you have to go away and think about that for a while. Mm-hmm. I'm not committed to reading her again yet, but yeah. It could happen.
This notion, I'm just struck by this notion that she made you guys work. The author made you work hard to sort of get through this book. You know, being a journalist, my whole orientation, at least in theory, is to make things easy to read. So I have a sort of a bias against authors who make things tough. How did that go down for you, Scott?
I really enjoyed it because what she did was she put in little bits from different times all through the book, and your reading of the narrative was creating this picture of a life all at the same time, from when he was very young, when Teddy was very young, to his old age. And I think that the richness of that life was mm-hmm. why the ending was so shocking.
The jumping back and forth, how did you feel about that, Kate?
I never mind that. I like authors to play with their narrative structure. And we were mentioning in the green room that I understand now why Gillian Flynn likes this book.
Mm-hmm.
She likes this book because she does the same thing that Kate Atkinson does. She's playing with the reader. She's making you work to understand these characters. And unlike Kate Atkinson, Gillian Flynn is really trying to put one over on us. But they both books have a shocking ending. So I understand why she likes this. And I like books where I can't predict what's going to happen next. I want to work a little bit to follow the narrative.
That's interesting. Well, Gillian Flynn admires Kate Atkinson's writing, saying she does this wonderful thing, Jen, where she makes it very hard for you to solely dislike a character, even when they're doing very, very bad things. Now, I hear some members of the book club disagreed when it came to the character of Viola. Who is she in the book, and why did some of your fellow readers dislike her so much?
Well, it wasn't just my fellow readers. It was myself, greatly. I did not care for her at all. She's a very cantankerous, bitter person. She believes that life has treated her unfairly, and she's going to let everybody know about it and everybody suffer in turn. And I do say that she has a redemption towards the end, but it's right at the end. So
you're waiting a long time.
You're waiting a long time for her to come around to be a softer, more compassionate person.
But this idea that Gillian Flynn points out about Kate Atkinson's writing, that Kate makes it hard for you to dislike a character, sounds like it didn't work.
No, not on that one.
Didn't work on you.
Not on that one.
Yeah. Scott, where were you?
I would say that what Kate Atkinson showed me was that she can make me want to read about a character I really dislike. And mm-hmm. and Viola was definitely a character who, through her actions, was a horrible, horrible person. Yet you wanted to read more about what happened to her and where she was going and why was she like this.
Oh, that's interesting. Well, let's look at some of the other main characters here. I mean, Teddy, the bomber pilot who survives the war when so many others didn't. Scott, how would you describe him?
I would describe him in the book as being an overwhelmingly kind person, but he has a lot of deep inner conflicts regarding his role in the war. He was a bomber pilot. He flew missions over Germany that resulted in firestorming of cities and the incineration and death of
wow.
people. And it's really scarred him, and it influences how he takes on life in the story
yeah.
after the war.
Jen, tell us about Nancy, and where does she fit into this story here?
Nancy was a neighbor growing up to Teddy next door. They had a kind of idyllic growing up together, and they didn't like the term childhood sweethearts, but that's what they were. They were always a couple, always together. And that's who Teddy married when he came back from the war and shared a life with, had Viola. Viola was her third child together.
And there's Bertie and Sonny, Teddy's children who grow to adulthood over the course of the novel. Katie, tell us about them, Bertie and Sonny.
Bertie and Sonny are Viola's daughter, son and daughter, with an artist, Dominic. And Viola and Dominic are hippies. They're definitely children of the 60s and 70s.
Yeah.
And Bertie and Sonny are the somewhat neglected children of both of them. Viola's bitterness and selfishness are evident in her child rearing, and both of her children miss her a great deal. Sonny becomes one of those, seems to be one of those bratty toddler boys, and Bertie is one of those extremely introverted girls who pushes her mother away. And you feel some sympathy for those children. You feel a great deal of sympathy for those children with that, with Viola as a mother. But you, it's hard to, we feel more sympathy for Bertie because she's so loving to Teddy. And we gain sympathy for Sonny, even though it's very easy to dislike him. He seems to exhibit a great many of his mother's traits. Sonny does come to be far more sympathetic as you learn a little bit more about his experiences. They're interesting characters, and Teddy takes them in at one point when he understands how neglectful his daughter is to her children. And they help Teddy redeem himself as a father, I believe. He's able to do for Bertie and Sonny what he could not do for Viola, even though he doesn't understand how Viola turned out the way he did. He did everything he could to be a wonderful father for her. And he was a wonderful father for her. It just didn't take.
If you're just joining us, we're talking about KCUR's book club. You're joining a book club in process here. We're talking about the book A God in Ruins by Kate Atkinson. Favorite character here, Scott?
Oh, my favorite character was definitely Teddy.
Teddy,
although
the bomber pilot. Yeah.
Yes, although his aunt Izzy was also a close runner-up because she's extremely colorful and she lives vicariously through Teddy and writes a series of children's books based upon her perceived events of his childhood, which kind of haunt him throughout the book.
Jen?
Definitely Teddy. There's no denying that he is the focus of the book. He's a very kind man, a very stand-up man. It's, you know, what we think of as the greatest generation. He's everybody's grandpa, basically. And just Bertie was also a good reflection of Teddy. And I think she had the best one-liners in the book. She always had very witty comebacks to her mother's antics.
Katie?
I will say that I actually liked the character of Viola, but I am the reader that likes characters that we can dislike. And I loved how deplorable Viola could be, but I also understood why she was that way.
Yeah.
Even after the big reveal where we really understand why she's that way, I sympathized. Viola was voicing a lot of the things that we keep in our head that we probably should, they should probably stay there. But
yeah.
Viola's just, she's not vile. She's just rude and insensitive and selfish. And who isn't those things at some point?
I want to just get the twist at the end of this book, which we're not going to give away. But one of the reviews in The Guardian stated that the book ends with a breathtaking volte-face, which will infuriate some readers and delight others. What were the opinions, Jen, of the Kansas City group? What happened there?
It was very split. It was
really
the love it, hate it moment.
Really?
Yes. I personally loved it. I thought it made the book. It gave me chills. We're not giving anything away.
Did you anticipate anything?
I had read Life After Life, so I knew
that she might cold cock you here at the end. Yeah.
I knew that there was something that could happen, but the way she did it was, it was art to me. Just perfect art.
Scott, perfect art or not?
I think your description of it as a literary cold cock was about right for me. I found it to be really very shocking. I did not like it, but I really enjoyed the opportunity to talk with these people in this book discussion because it helped me appreciate it more, and I got something out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say I don't care to read that book kind of book all the time, but I'm glad I read this one.
So bottom line, would you recommend this book or not? Katie Stover?
Oh, yes. I would recommend this book highly. I'll be suggesting this one for the rest of the year.
Yeah. Jennifer Kay?
Yes, I would recommend it. But it depends on the person. If you don't want something that's not your typical book, because it's not straightforward in how it's set up, then this isn't the book for you. But if you're okay with that, then it's fabulous.
Scott Curtis?
If you love colorful characters that have a slow reveal and a narrative that develops in all times at once, you'll like this book. It was fun.
Okay. Well, you can hear Morning Edition's interview with Kate Atkinson, author of A God in Ruins, next Tuesday right here on KCUR. And I want to thank Katie Stover from the Kansas City Public Library, Scott Curtis, and Jennifer Kay. Thanks for your great insights into this book.
Oh, a pleasure.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you very much.